This is the Power of Your Subconscious Mind podcast, a chapter-by-chapter reading of Joseph Murphy's The Power of Your Subconscious Mind, which is in the public domain. This book was written in 1963, and although the language is a bit arcane at times, the concepts are still cutting edge. I'm your host, Lane Smith Brown, and I am a coach at lanesmithbrown.com and the host of the Unleash Your Life podcast. I help my students apply the concepts in this book by helping them understand what is really playing in their subconscious mind. That's a mystery to most people, and why so many people read or listen to this book and don't get the results they want. Check out the links in the show notes or go directly to lanesmithbrown.com. The Power of Your Subconscious Mind, brought to you by WeirdHummingbirds.com. This book is in the public domain. Chapter 2, How Your Mind Works. Your mind is your most precious possession. It is always with you, but its most amazing powers will be yours only when you have learned how to use it. As we have seen, there are two levels to your mind, the conscious or rational level and the subconscious or irrational level. You think with your conscious mind, and whatever you habitually think sinks down into your subconscious mind, which then creates according to the nature of your thoughts. Your subconscious mind is the seat of your emotions. It is the creative mind. If you think good, good will follow. If you think evil, evil will follow. This is the way your mind works. The most important point to remember is this. Once the subconscious mind accepts an idea, it begins to execute it. It is an astonishing and subtle truth that the law of your subconscious mind works for good and bad ideas alike. This law, when applied in a negative way, is the cause of failure, frustration, and unhappiness. When your habitual thinking is harmonious and constructive, however, you experience perfect health, success, and prosperity. Peace of mind and a healthy body are inevitable once you begin to think and feel in the right way. Whenever you claim mentally and feel as true, your subconscious mind will accept and bring forth into your experience. All you have to do is get your subconscious mind to accept your idea. Once that happens, the law of your subconscious mind will bring forth the health, peace, and prosperity you desire. You give the command or decree, and your subconscious will faithfully reproduce the idea impressed upon it. The law of your mind is this. The reaction or response you get from your subconscious mind will be determined by the nature of the thought or idea you hold in your conscious mind. Psychologists and psychiatrists point out that when thoughts are conveyed to your subconscious mind, impressions are made in the brain cells. As soon as your subconscious accepts any idea, it proceeds to put it into effect immediately. Working by association of ideas, it uses every bit of knowledge that you have gathered in your lifetime to bring about its purpose. It draws on the infinite power, energy, and wisdom within you. It lines up all the laws of nature to get its way. Sometimes it seems to bring about an immediate solution to your difficulties, but at other times it may take days, weeks, or longer. Its ways are past finding out. The differences between conscious and subconscious. You must remember that the conscious and subconscious are not two minds. They are merely two spheres of activity within one mind. Your conscious mind is the reasoning mind. It is that phase of mind that chooses. For example, you choose your books, your home, and your partner in life. You make all your decisions with your conscious mind. On the other hand, without any conscious choice on your part, your heart is kept functioning automatically, and the vital functions of digestion, circulation, and breathing are carried on by your subconscious mind through processes independent of your conscious control. Your subconscious mind accepts what is impressed upon it or what you consciously believe. It does not reason things out as your conscious mind does, and it does not argue with you controversially. Your subconscious mind is like a bed of soil that accepts any kind of seed, good or bad. Your thoughts are active. They are the seeds. Negative, destructive thoughts continue to work negatively in your subconscious mind. Sooner or later, they will emerge and take shape as an outer experience that corresponds to their content. Remember, your subconscious mind does not engage in proving whether your thoughts are good or bad, true or false. It responds according to the nature of your thoughts or suggestions. For example, if you consciously assume that someone is true or something is true, even though it may be false, your subconscious mind will accept it as true and proceed to bring about results that must necessarily follow because you consciously assumed it to be true. Experiments by psychologists. Psychologists and others have performed countless experiments on people who are in a hypnotic trance. The research shows clearly that the subconscious mind does not make the selections and comparisons that are necessary for a reasoning process. Your subconscious mind will accept any suggestions, however false. Having once accepted any suggestion, it responds according to the nature of the suggestion given. To illustrate how suggestible your subconscious mind is, if a practiced hypnotist suggests to one of her subjects that she is Napoleon Bonaparte, or even a cat or a dog, the subject will act out the plan with inimitable accuracies. Her personality becomes changed for the time being. She believes herself to be whatever the operator tells her she is. A skilled hypnotist may suggest to one of his students in the hypnotic state that her back itches, to another that his nose is bleeding, to another that she is a marble statue, to another that she is freezing and the temperature is below zero. Each one will follow out that line of his particular suggestion, totally oblivious to all those surrounding that do not pertain to the hypnotic suggestion. These simple illustrations portray the difference between your conscious reasoning mind and your subconscious mind, which is impersonal, non-selective, and accepts as true whatever your conscious mind believes to be true. Hence, the importance of selecting thoughts, ideas, and premises that bless, heal, inspire, and fill your soul with joy. The terms objective and subjective mind clarified. Your conscious mind is sometimes referred to as your objective mind because it deals with outward objects. The objective mind is aware of the objective world. Its media of observation are your five physical senses. Your objective mind is your guide and director in your contact with your environment. You gain knowledge through your five senses. Your objective mind learns through observation, experience, and education. As previously pointed out, the greatest function of the objective mind is that of reasoning. Suppose you are one of the hundreds of thousands of tourists who visit the Grand Canyon every year. You would come to the conclusion that it is one of the world's most amazing natural wonders. This conclusion would be based on your observation of its incredible depth, the complex shaping of the rock formations, the beautiful play of colors among the different geological strata. This is the working of your objective mind. Your subconscious mind is often referred to as your subjective mind. Your subjective mind is aware of its environment, but not by means of the physical senses. Your subjective mind perceives by intuition. It is the seat of your emotions and the storehouse of memory. Your subjective mind performs its highest functions when your objective senses are not functioning. In other words, it is that intelligence that makes itself known when the objective mind is suspended or in a sleepy, drowsy state. Your subjective mind sees without the use of the natural organs of vision. It has the capacity of clairvoyance and clairaudience. It can see and hear events that are taking place elsewhere. Your subjective mind can leave your body, travel to distant lands, and bring back information that is often of the most exact and truthful in character. Through your subjective mind, you can read the thoughts of others, read the contents of sealed envelopes, or of closed books and newspapers. Once we understand the interaction of the objective and subjective minds, we are in a better position to learn the true art of prayer. The subconscious cannot reason like your conscious mind. Your subconscious mind does not have the ability to argue or dispute what it is being told. If you give it wrong information, it will accept it as true. It will then work to make that information correct. It will bring your suggestions, even those that were false, to pass as conditions, experiences, and events. Everything that has happened to you happened because of thoughts impressed on your subconscious mind through belief. If you have communicated wrong or distorted concepts to your subconscious mind, it is of the most urgent importance to correct them. The sure way to do this is by repeatedly giving your subconscious mind constructive, harmonious thoughts. As these are frequently repeated, your subconscious mind accepts them. In this way, you can form new, healthier habits of thought and life. For your subconscious mind is the seat of habit. The habitual thinking of your conscious mind establishes deep grooves in your subconscious mind. If your habitual thoughts are harmonious, peaceful, and constructive, your subconscious mind will respond by creating harmony, peace, and constructive conditions. Have you fallen prey to fear, worry, and other destructive forms of thinking? The remedy is to recognize the power of your subconscious mind and decree freedom, happiness, and perfect health. Your subconscious mind, being creative and one with your divine source, will then start to create the freedom and happiness you have earnestly decreed. The tremendous power of suggestion. As you can see by what we have already discussed, your conscious mind serves as the watchman at the gate. One of its most crucial functions is to protect your subconscious mind from false impressions. The reason this is so important goes back to one of the basic laws of mind. Your subconscious mind is very sensitive to suggestion. As you know, your subconscious mind does not make comparisons or contrasts. It doesn't reason and think things out for itself. This latter function belongs to your conscious mind. Note, your subconscious mind simply reacts to the impressions given it by your conscious mind. It does not pick and choose among different courses of action. It merely takes what it is given. Suggestion is a tremendously powerful force. Imagine that you are on a board of a ship that is rocking a bit from side to side. You approach a timid-looking fellow passenger and say, "Gee, you don't look so hot. Your face is practically green. I'm afraid you're going to be seasick. Can I help you to your cabin?" The passenger turns pale. The suggestion you have just made about seasickness links up with her own fears and forebodings. She lets you escort her down below deck. Once she is there, your negative suggestion, which she accepted, comes true. Powerful stuff, no? This book has transformed millions of lives. But for millions more, it's just fallen to the wayside and had no positive effect. Which one will you be? A listener or a doer? If you want this information to stick and stay, then check out the resources in the show notes. Different reactions to the same suggestion. It is important to realize that different people will react in different ways to the same suggestion. This is because they have different subconscious conditioning or beliefs. Suppose instead of choosing a fellow passenger on the ship, you go up to a member of the crew. You say, "Hey buddy, you don't look so great. Do you think you're about to be seasick?" Depending on the sailor's temperament, he either laughs at your feeble joke or tells you to get lost. Your suggestion had no power over him because the idea of seasickness was associated in his mind with his own immunity from it. Therefore, it called up not fear or worry, but self-confidence. A dictionary will tell you that a suggestion is the act or instance of putting something into one's mind. It is the mental process by which the thought or idea that has been suggested is entertained, accepted, or put into effect. Remember, a suggestion cannot impose itself on the subconscious mind against the will of the conscious mind. Your conscious mind has the power to reject the suggestion. The sailor had no fear of seasickness. He had convinced himself of his immunity. So the negative suggestion had no power to evoke fear. But your fellow passenger was already worried about becoming sick. Therefore, your suggestion had power over her. All of us have our own inner fears, beliefs, and opinions. These inner assumptions rule and govern our lives. A suggestion has no power in and of itself. Its power arises from the fact that you accept it mentally. Only at that point do your subconscious powers begin to act according to the nature of the suggestion. How he lost his arm. For many years, I gave a regular series of lectures at the London Truth Forum in Caxton Hall, which I founded a number of years ago. Dr. Evelyn Fleet, the director, told me about a man whose young daughter suffered from both crippling rheumatoid arthritis and the disfiguring and painful skin condition called psoriasis. They tried many treatments, but nothing the doctors did seemed to help. The man was near despair. Over and over again, he said to himself and to his friends, "I would give my right arm to see my daughter cured." According to Dr. Fleet, one day the family was out for a drive. Their car was involved in a head-on collision. The father's right arm was torn off at the shoulder. When he came home from the hospital, he discovered that his daughter's arthritis and skin condition had vanished. You must be very careful to give your subconscious only those suggestions that heal, bless, elevate, and inspire you in all your ways. Remember, your subconscious mind doesn't understand a joke. It takes you at your word. How auto-suggestion banishes fear. The term auto-suggestion means suggesting something definite and specific to oneself. Like any tool, wrongly used, it can cause harm, but used properly, it can be extremely helpful. Janet R. was a talented young singer. She was invited to try out for an important role in an opera production. She desperately wanted to audition, but she was also terribly apprehensive. 3 times before, when she had sung for directors, she had failed miserably. The reason was fear of failure. She had a wonderful voice, but she had been saying to herself, "When the time comes for me to sing, I'll sound awful. I'll never get the role. They won't like me. They'll wonder how I have the nerve to even try out. I'll go, but I know it'll be a failure." Her subconscious mind accepted these negative auto-suggestions as a request. It proceeded to manifest them and bring them into her experience. The cause was an involuntary auto-suggestion. Her fears had become emotionalized and subjectified thoughts that in turn became her reality. This young singer was able to overcome the force of her negative auto-suggestions. She accomplished this by countering them with positive auto-suggestion. What she did was this. 3 times a day, she went alone into a quiet room. She sat down comfortably in an armchair, relaxed her body, and closed her eyes. She stilled her mind and body as best she could. Physical inertia favors mental passivity and renders the mind more receptive to suggestion. To counteract the fear suggestion, she repeated to herself, "I sing beautifully. I am poised, serene, confident, and calm." At each sitting, she repeated this statement slowly, quietly, and with feeling from 5 to 10 times. She had 3 such sittings during the day and 1 immediately before going to sleep. After 1 week, she was completely poised and confident. When the fateful day came, she gave a wonderful audition and was cast in the part. How she restored her memory. A woman of 75 had always been proud of her ability to remember. Like everyone, she forgot things now and then, but she paid no attention. However, as she got older, she began to notice these occasions and worried about them. Each time she forgot something, she'd say to herself, "I must be losing my memory because of my age." As a result of this negative auto-suggestion, more and more names and events slipped her mind. She was close to despair. Then, fortunately, she realized how she was damaging herself. She resolved to reverse the process. Every time she felt the temptation to think, "I am losing my memory," she stopped herself. More than that, she deliberately reversed the procedure. Several times a day, she practiced induced positive auto-suggestion. She said to herself, "From today onward, my memory is improving in every way. I will always remember whatever I need to know at every moment of time and point of space. The impressions I receive will be clear and definite. I will retain them automatically and easily. Whatever I want to recall will immediately present itself in the correct form in my mind. I am improving rapidly every day. Very soon, my memory will be better than it has ever been before." At the end of 3 weeks, her memory was back to normal. How he overcame a nasty temper. I was consulted by a man whose marriage and career were both in serious trouble. Hugh D's problem was his constant irritability and bad temper. He was concerned about this himself, but if anyone tried to discuss it with him, he exploded in anger. He constantly told himself that everyone was picking on him and that he had to defend himself against them. To counter this negative auto-suggestion, I advised him to use positive auto-suggestion. Several times a day, morning, noon, and at night, prior to sleep, he was to repeat to himself, "From now on, I shall grow more good-humored. Joy, happiness, and cheerfulness are now becoming my normal states of mind. Every day, I am becoming more and more lovable and understanding. I will be a center of cheer and goodwill to all those around me, infecting them with my good spirits. This happy, joyous, and cheerful mood is now becoming my normal, natural state of mind. I am grateful." After 1 month, his wife and his co-workers remarked on how much easier he was to get along with. Some comments on heterosuggestion. The term heterosuggestion means suggestions from another person. In all ages and in every part of the world, the power of suggestion has played a dominant part in the life and thought of humankind. Political creeds, religious beliefs, and cultural custom all flourish and perpetuate themselves through the power of heterosuggestion. Suggestion can be used as a tool to discipline and control ourselves. However, it can also be used to take control and command over others who have not been taught to understand the laws of the mind. In its constructive form, it is wonderful and magnificent. In its negative aspects, it is one of the most destructive of all the response patterns of the mind. Its results can be enduring patterns of misery, failure, suffering, sickness, and disaster. Have you accepted any of these? From the day we are born, we are bombarded with negative suggestions. Not knowing how to counter them, we unconsciously accept them and bring them into being as our experience. Here are some examples of negative suggestions. You can't. You'll never amount to anything. You mustn't. You'll fail. You haven't got a chance. You're all wrong. It's no use. It's not what you know, it's who you know. What's the use? Nobody cares. There's no point to trying hard. You're too old now. Things are getting worse and worse. Life is an endless grind. You just can't win. Watch out. You'll catch a terrible disease. By accepting heterosuggestions of this kind, you collaborate in bringing them to pass. As a child, you were helpless when faced with suggestions of others who were important to you. You did not know any better. The mind, both conscious and unconscious, was a mystery you did not even wonder about. As an adult, however, you are able to make choices. You can use constructive auto-suggestion, which is a reconditioning therapy, to change the impressions made on you in the past. The first step is to make yourself aware of the heterosuggestions that are operating on you. Unexamined, they can create behavior patterns that cause failure in your personal and social life. Constructive auto-suggestion can release you from the mass of negative verbal conditioning that might otherwise distort your life pattern, making the development of good habits difficult or even impossible. You can counteract negative suggestions. Pick up the paper or turn on the television news. Every day, you hear dozens of stories that could sow the seeds of futility, fear, worry, anxiety, and impending doom. If you accept them and take them in, these thoughts of fear can cause you to lose the will for life. However, once you understand that you do not have to accept them, choices open up for you. You have within you the power to counteract all these destructive ideas by giving your subconscious mind constructive auto-suggestions. Check regularly on the negative suggestions that people make to you. You do not have to be at the mercy of destructive hetero-suggestion. All of us have suffered from it in our childhood, in our teens, and in our adulthood. If you look back, you can easily recall how parents, friends, relatives, teachers, and associates contributed in a campaign of negative suggestions. Study the things that were said to you, closely examine their underlying meaning, and you will discover that many of them were nothing more than a form of propaganda. Its concealed purpose was, and is, to control you by instilling fear in you. This hetero-suggestion process goes on in every home, office, factory, and club. You will find that many of the suggestions people make, whether they know it or not, are aimed at making you think, feel, and act as they want you to, in ways that are to their advantage, even if they are destructive to you. How suggestion killed a man. A distant relative of mine went to a celebrated crystal gazer in India and asked the woman to read his future. The seer told him that he had a bad heart. She predicted that he would die at the next new moon. My relative was aghast. He called up everyone in his family and told them about the prediction. He met with his lawyer to make sure his will was up to date. When I tried to talk him out of his conviction, he told me that the crystal gazer was known to have amazing occult powers. He was convinced of the truth of this. As the new moon approached, he became more and more withdrawn. A month before, this man had been happy, healthy, vigorous, and robust. Now he was an invalid. On the predicted date, he suffered a fatal heart attack. He died not knowing he was the cause of his own death. How many of us have heard similar stories and shivered a little at the thought that the world is full of mysterious, uncontrollable forces? Yes, the world is full of forces, but they are neither mysterious nor uncontrollable. My relative killed himself by allowing a powerful suggestion to enter into his subconscious mind. He believed in the crystal gazer's power, so he accepted her prediction completely. Let us take another look at what happened. Knowing what we do about the way the subconscious mind works. Whatever the conscious reasoning mind of a person believes, the subconscious mind will accept and act upon. My relative was in a suggestible state when he went to see the fortune teller. She gave him a negative suggestion and he accepted it. He became terrified. He constantly ruminated on his conviction that he was going to die at the next new moon. He told everyone about it, and he prepared for his end. It was his own fear and expectation of the end, accepted as true by his subconscious mind, that brought about his death. The woman who predicted his death had no more power than the stones and sticks in the field. Her suggestion, in and of itself, had no power to create or bring about the end she suggested. If he had known the laws of his mind, he would have completely rejected the negative suggestion and refused to give her words any attention. He could have gone about the business of living with the secure knowledge that he was governed and controlled by his own thoughts and feelings. The prophecy of the seer would have been like a rubber ball thrown at an armored tank. He could have neutralized and dissipated her suggestion with no harm to himself. Instead, through lack of awareness and knowledge, he allowed it to kill him. In themselves, the suggestions of others have no power over you. Whatever power they have They gain because you give it to them through your own thoughts. You have to give your mental consent. You have to entertain and accept the thought. At that point, it becomes your own thought, and your subconscious works to bring it into experience. Remember, you have the capacity to choose. Choose life. Choose love. Choose health. The power of an assumed major premise. Since the days of ancient Greece, philosophers and logicians have studied the form of reasoning called a syllogism. Your mind reasons in syllogisms. In practical terms, this means that whatever major premise your conscious mind assumes to be true, that determines the conclusion your subconscious mind will come to, no matter what the particular question or problem might be. If your premises are true, the conclusion must be true. For example, every virtue is praiseworthy. Kindness is a virtue, therefore kindness is praiseworthy. Or this: all formed things change and pass away. The pyramids of Egypt are formed things, therefore the pyramids will change and pass away. The first statement is referred to as the major premise, and the right conclusion must necessarily follow the right premise. A college professor who attended some of my Science of Mind lectures in New York City's town hall came to speak with me afterwards. He told me, "Everything in my life is topsy-turvy. I have lost health, wealth, and friends. Everything I touch turns out wrong." I explained to him that his problem followed logically and directly from his self-destructive major premise. To change his life, he had to establish a new major premise in his thinking. He needed to accept as true the conviction that the infinite intelligence of his subconscious mind was guiding, directing, and prospering him spiritually, mentally, and materially. Once he did that, his subconscious mind would automatically direct him wisely in his decisions, heal his body, and restore his mind to peace and tranquility. The professor formulated an overall picture of the way he wanted his life to be. This was his major premise: infinite intelligence leads and guides me in all my ways. Perfect health is mine, and the law of harmony operates in my mind and body. Beauty, love, peace, and abundance are mine. The principles of right action and divine order govern my entire life. I know my major premise is based on the eternal truths of life, and I know, feel, and believe that my subconscious mind responds according to the nature of my conscious mind's thinking. Later, he wrote me the following progress report. I repeated the statements of my major premise slowly, quietly, and lovingly several times a day. I knew that they were sinking deep down into my subconscious mind. I was convinced by the laws of mind that results must follow. I am deeply grateful for the interview you gave me, and I would like to add that all departments of my life are changing for the better. It works. The subconscious does not argue controversially. Your subconscious mind is all wise. It knows the answers to all questions. However, it does not know that it knows. It does not argue with you or talk back to you. It does not say, "You must not impress me with that suggestion." When you say, "I can't do this. I am too old now. I can't meet this obligation. I was born on the wrong side of the tracks. I don't know the right politician." you are impregnating your subconscious with negative thoughts. It responds accordingly. You are actually blocking your own good. You are bringing lack, limitation, and frustration into your life. When you set up obstacles, impediments, and delays in your conscious mind, you are denying the wisdom and intelligence resident in your subconscious mind. You are actually saying, in effect, that your subconscious mind cannot solve your problem. This leads to mental and emotional congestion, followed by sickness and neurotic tendencies. To realize your desires and overcome your frustration, affirm boldly several times a day, "The infinite intelligence that gave me this desire leads, guides, and reveals to me the perfect plan for the unfolding of my desire. I know the deeper wisdom of my subconscious is now responding, and what I feel and claim within is expressed in the without. There is balance, equilibrium, and equanimity." On the other hand, if you say, "There is no way out, I am lost, there is no way out of this dilemma, I am stymied and blocked," you will get no answer or response from your subconscious mind. If you want the subconscious to work for you, you have to give it the right request and get its cooperation. It is always working for you. It is controlling your heartbeat and breathing this minute. When you cut your finger, it sets in motion the complex process of healing. Its most fundamental tendency is lifeward. It is forever seeking to take care of you and preserve you. Your subconscious has a mind of its own, but it accepts your patterns of thought and imagery. When you look for the answers to a problem, your subconscious will respond, but it expects you to come to a decision and a true judgment in your conscious mind. You must acknowledge that the answer is in your subconscious mind. If you say, "I don't think there is any way out, I am all mixed up and confused, why don't I get an answer?" you are neutralizing your prayer. Like the soldier marking time, you use up vital energy, but you do not move forward. Still the wheels of your mind. Relax. Let go. Quietly affirm, "My subconscious knows the answer. It is responding to me now. I give thanks because I know the infinite intelligence of my subconscious knows all things and is revealing the perfect answer to me now. My real conviction is now setting free the majesty and glory of my subconscious mind. I rejoice that it is so." Review of highlights. Think good and good follows. Think evil and evil follows. You are what you think all day long. Your subconscious mind does not argue with you. It accepts what your conscious mind decrees. If you say, "I can't afford it," your subconscious works to make it true. Select a better thought. Decree, "I'll buy it. I accept it in my mind." You have the power to choose. Choose health and happiness. You can choose to be friendly, or you can choose to be unfriendly. Choose to be cooperative, joyous, friendly, lovable, and the whole world will respond. This is the best way to develop a wonderful personality. Your conscious mind is the watchman at the gate. Its chief function is to protect your subconscious mind from false impressions. Choose to believe that something good can happen and is happening now. Your greatest power is your capacity to choose. Choose happiness and abundance. The suggestions and statements of others have no power to hurt you. The only power is the movement of your own thought. You can choose to reject the thoughts or statements of others and affirm the good. You have the power to choose how you will react. Watch what you say. You have to account for every idle word. Never say, I will fail, I will lose my job, I can't pay the rent. Your subconscious cannot take a joke. It brings all these things to pass. Your mind is not evil. No force of nature is evil. It depends how you use the powers of nature. Use your mind to bless, heal, and inspire all people everywhere. Never say, I can't. Overcome that fear by substituting the following, I can do all things through the power of my own subconscious mind. Begin to think from the standpoint of the eternal truths and principles of life, not from the standpoint of fear, ignorance, and superstition. Do not let others do your thinking for you. Choose your own thoughts and make your own decisions. You are the captain of your soul, your subconscious mind, and the master of your fate. Remember, you have the capacity to choose. Choose life, choose love, choose health, choose happiness. Whatever your conscious mind assumes and believes to be true, your subconscious mind will accept and bring to pass. Believe in good fortune, divine guidance, right action, and all the blessings of life. That's the end of this chapter. There's so much good stuff here, but if you don't address the self-sabotaging beliefs and behaviors in your subconscious mind, nothing will change for you. Don't be a listener, be a doer. Get the change you're seeking. The show notes contain links to lanesmithbrown.com, and for more helpful information on how to really apply the concepts in this book, check out my Unleash Your Life podcast. This is Lane Smith Brown, signing off.